Hallelujah. On Wednesday nights for a few weeks, we've been in a series called You Can Have What You Say. And we're going to review a little bit and go a little bit further. That's kind of what we do. Let's look on your sheet. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, So Jesus answered and said to them, this is just kind of our text, said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you. Notice he said, for assuredly. Jesus said, this is a sure thing. Jesus said, for sure I say to you. So what he's about to say after that is a sure thing. You can take it to the bank. It's more sure than any word of man. It's more sure than any institution of man or anything that we have on this earth. It is for sure. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So you can receive from God. There's many ways you can receive from God. Healing, for instance. There's not just one stream of healing. There are different ways you can receive healing. We need to be led by God. Don't just always try to turn a crank and just do just the same thing every time. The Word of God works, but we ought to ask God, Lord, what should we do in this situation? Sometimes we're too quick to pray. I'd say a lot of times we're too quick to pray. We're just going to push a button or turn a crank, and we don't take time to get our direction from the Lord. How did you notice Jesus didn't minister the same to everybody? He ministered different ways. How did he know how to minister? He was led by the Holy Spirit. How do you think we ought to minister, and how do you think we ought to believe God? We ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the helper. If he's the helper, his role is to help. So don't you think he knows what to do in any given situation? Don't you know what he knows what to do in your body? Don't you know that he knows exactly what's going on, exactly the thing that's out of place in your body? He doesn't even have to guess. He doesn't have to run any tests. He doesn't have to rely on some knowledge that he got from a book or from man to try to diagnose. Well, the best I can tell, you have this. You know, he knows exactly, pinpoint. He knows the very cells that need to be corrected. He knows the nerves. He knows the muscle. He knows exactly what needs to be tweaked. Did you know that? He's not in the dark about it. He doesn't even have to go think about it. He doesn't have to go look it up on, you know, Google it. He doesn't have to go talk to Michael about it or Gabriel. He knows. Right now, he knows exactly what needs to be done in any given situation. He knows the next step. He knows what needs to change. He knows how it got that way. You hear me?
Yes.
So, but sometimes we're like, oh, a symptom. Okay, and we try to go right into prayer mode. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe God. But we ought to ask God, Lord, how should I act on this? What should I do? I heard secondhand, I heard somebody was talking about a situation with Gloria and Kenneth Copeland. And they were driving somewhere, and there was a bump on Kenneth Copeland's neck. And he was, you know, feeling it, and he was like thinking it was some kind of a growth. And he was going on the road, and he said, Gloria, reach out your hand to there and curse that thing. And she reached out and touched it, and she said, Kenneth, that's a tick, and pulled it off. And it wasn't a growth. It wasn't anything. It was just a tick. I mean, sometimes... Sometimes we just need to wait. I know, you know, you can have a symptom of something, and it's not, I mean, it's not really anything, but you're like, well, I wonder if I'm getting sick, and go into resist mode. You could have a symptom in your body, just a pain or something, and if you're quick, oh no, what is that? I got to go to rebuking or believe in God, and it's just you're sore because, oh, I forgot I was in the garden yesterday or something, you know? We need to believe and act on what God has told us and look to Him to lead us and guide us. Jesus was always led by the Holy Spirit. So, I said there are many ways you can receive healing. God will lead you in different ways. His Word is always true, but we need to make a connection. You can't separate faith from being led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. He'll tell us what to do. But anyway, you can, this as this verse says, there's two ways. You can receive by saying. You can receive by praying and believing that you receive. Verse 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, he will have whatever he says." Now we read in Romans 10:8. Just recapping a little bit, look at the next scripture on your sheet. It says, well, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it says you need to have the word in your mouth and in your heart. Here, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's telling us how to get saved. Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We talked about how you can confess, just like it works for salvation, that you can confess unto salvation, you can confess unto healing. You can confess unto prosperity or right relationships. Now, that's not the only thing. You got to act on it. But you will follow, we'll get to this in a minute, you will follow your words. This works in relationships. I remember some of you guys know Pastor Gill that came out here. He's my pastor for years in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he openly says this from the pulpit many times. I mean, this isn't a secret that he told me. He would tell you. But he and Emily were having a rough time in their marriage. This was years ago. But they were having a rough time and not doing well. And to the point where it was cold. I mean, it was just, you know what I mean by that? The atmosphere, not temperature, but almost temperature. Yes. You know, when you're in an argument, you get an idea of what that's like. You can walk into a room, you can tell if somebody's been arguing. You know that?
Yes.
You can tell. You don't even have to have heard it. You can say, the atmosphere's, it's chill. Why? Because we're spirit beings. We can't fool people as much as we think sometimes. You think, well, nothing going on. Really? We're spirits. If you're spiritual, you can pick up things about other people. There's an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere. You can tell when there's peace and love in a home. You can tell when there's strife. You ever walk into a house? I mean, you can. It's just peaceful. You walk in a house and say, "Ooh." But anyway, they were not having a good time in their marriage, and. To where Pastor Gill was like, I don't love this woman anymore. I don't love her. I don't want to be with her. I don't feel anything. It's dead. I want to be done. And he was talking to God about it, and God just led him. Just told him, start saying you love her to yourself. Even if you can't bring yourself to say it to her yet. Start saying, I love Emily. I love her. I love my wife. And he said it was hard to say. Because he said, I don't. I said it, but I don't. I'm just saying it. But he felt like God was telling him. And it lines up with the Word. And he just started saying, I love Emily. I love my wife. And he said over time, he started to say it, and his feelings started following what he was saying. And he started warming up, and their relationship was restored to where he would say it, and he believed it. He did love her. Our set, we will follow our words. You set a course and a direction for our lives, for your life, with your words. In any area. Let's turn over to James. James 3, verse 2. Maybe we'll just read verse 1. James 3. Praise the Lord. James 3. Verse 2. Actually, we'll just read verse 1, beginning of the chapter. It says, my brethren, everybody there? On your sheet too. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Lest no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So there are a number of things here. But look at verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able also to bridle the whole body. So he said, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect. That doesn't mean you're flawless. That means you're mature. You're whole. You've come up. In fact, that's the word the margin of my Bible uses, is mature. So if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a mature man. So can you not stumble in word? According to this, you can. So that gives you light. When further down it says no man can tame the tongue, that doesn't mean, sorry, there's nothing I can do. That would contradict the verse we just read. We'll get to that in a second, I think. But for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Look also at ships, or indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body with the little bit. And then look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So verse 2 says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And then he gives an example of a horse and a ship. And he says, if you're able to control your mouth, you can control your whole being. The same way that you control, you can't physically control a horse. I don't care how big you are, the horse, if it's a normal size horse, is bigger and much stronger. You can't physically control the horse, but you have that bit, you can control it. A ship, you could have a huge ship, yet it's controlled by a relatively small rudder. Now, if it's a big ship, that rudder could be pretty big, but relative to the ship, it's small. But what does the rudder do? It directs the ship. The ship will go where the rudder points. The horse will go where the bit, where you aim the bit, where you tell the horse to go with the bit. Your body, your life, will go where your mouth points it. This is what Jesus said. If you say unto the mountain, well, if you're saying something, your body is going to listen. There's something about saying it. It's real. It puts into motion spiritual forces. You and I have authority in our lives, whether we know it or not. And what you say is going to go in your life. What you say is not going to go in my life. You can get 1,000 people together and all say stuff, and if I don't agree with it, it's not going anywhere. And vice versa. Nobody can bring your life down by what they say. Now, I'm not saying words don't mean things. I'm not saying you can beat people up with your words and it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you say, I'm going to fail, and I say, I'm going over, my words trump your words. You cannot bring me down. And you don't have to be afraid of anybody that would so-called, curse you or put a curse on you. That's real. But if you know the truth, you don't have to be afraid of it. Well, if somebody said something about me, so, what did you say about it? If you start agreeing with them, then you have a problem. And just to go out to the other thing again, people, there is, and I'm not going off onto this, but I'll just touch on it because there is a reality of it. There are demons, there are witches, there are warlocks, yes, but you don't have to be scared of them. Some people are like, whoo, a witch or something. That you should not ever be afraid. There can be 1,000 witches, and they can't take out one Christian if the Christian knows who they are in Christ. Amen. Period. Amen. Because I would say they could take out God. Because you have the greater one inside you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. On the other hand, what happens is, if somebody, so-called puts a curse or something on somebody, if you say, oh no, that's going to hurt me, and you start agreeing, you are giving that authority in your life. That's where the problem comes. Yes. You're saying it's the fear. The fear is letting that have authority in your life. Because the Bible says your fears will come on you. In Job, he said, what I greatly feared has come on me. That didn't happen in a vacuum. Okay, Job didn't he was just doing everything, and all of a sudden out of left field, God let him get hit. That's not the way it happened. Okay, there are reasons why things happen. But if we know the truth, if we know who we are, then it doesn't matter who says what about us, what we say is going to go. Notice it didn't say if your neighbor says something to you, that your body will follow your neighbor. Notice the horse doesn't follow the horse next to its bridle. Or the ship doesn't follow the next ship's rudder. It follows its rudder. So I don't care who says what to you. Well, you're stupid. I say I'm smart. I don't care what you say. You're ignorant. I mean, if you get that attitude, you're going to fail. You're no good. Says who? You? I'm not saying you have to be cocky, but you should be bold. Don't let, well, such and such said I can't do this. Who cares? Such and such says this is a bad idea. So? Such and such, you know, somebody said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Well, you're not me. Who should we be concerned with hearing from? The Lord. Who should we be concerned about pleasing? God. I'll tell you what, if we had listened to people, we would never have moved out here. Because we didn't have anybody that was, I mean, we had a few good friends, and I'm good friends with those people today. Some of those, the people that I saw when I went back to Oklahoma, some of those were ones that said, yeah, that, I mean, they were with us. But a whole lot of people, I'm not saying they're bad people, but people that you know. First thing, when you know, we would tell them, well, we're moving to Massachusetts to start a church. People that are at Rhema, that have gone to Rhema. We're asking us questions like, well, who do you know out there? Do you have family? Why are you going out there? What's the connection? We had people in the school that said, so have you done your demographics? I'm serious. Did you do the demographics? And actually, because of other things, I had looked them up. It had nothing to do. At that point, I don't know if I had, actually. It had nothing to do with that. They would say, well, you know, is it the right makeup? I mean, that's what they're asking. What should we be concerned? I mean, the question wasn't, did the Spirit of God tell you? It was, well, I'm trying to figure this out with my head. And I remember I talked to, we had this third year, when I was in third year of the pastor's class. There was this one class that they, all it was is that pastors would come for the whole class, one week at a time, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, they'd take the whole morning. And that class was a pastor coming that was out there doing it and would just talk whatever was on his heart for 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 hours a day. And just bring whatever the Holy Spirit put on his heart and teach us. And the Varneys, Greg and Debbie Varney from Kansas, they're in Topeka, Kansas. You guys ever heard of that really weird, their family of lawyers that go and they like march at soldiers' graves and things they're just despicable out in Kansas? That's in their town. They've like picketed this church before. Anyhow, they told us about that. Anyway, they graduated probably back in late 70s or early 80s or something, and they went out and they started this church, and back then it's a different time. You could just put a sign up and Word of Faith and people would come. Anyway, they started church. They had a very nice church out in Kansas. But I talked to Debbie in the midst of this. This was in the spring. And we had known them from the time we were in Nebraska, and they're just awesome people. And I just was talking to her and said, you know, with everything we know, the Spirit of God's told us to do this. And, you know, we just get questions, and even from people in the school and stuff, and she said, you follow the Holy Spirit. He said, that is the only thing we did. We followed God. There wasn't anything else. You listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and you obey it. And it encouraged us. I mean, not that we were discouraged, but it was just like, thank you. Yes, we went to a school that taught to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's how we're supposed to be led. Thank you. But if we were to listen to other people, I mean, I'm not saying we had people disparaging us or anything, but at all. I mean, it's just, but people can be honest and sincere and just yield to the devil. The thoughts that they're having, fears that they have, they're just letting them out. Well, what if this happens? And it's not, they're not concerned about you. They're yielding to fear. They're yielding to fears that are in them if they were in that situation. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm saying they're yielding to the wrong thing. And any of us can do that if we're not careful. That's why you have to be so careful what comes out of your mouth. Because you can affect other people if they'll listen to it in a negative way. And you have to be aware of that. You ever, I mean, again, I'm not saying that people are demon-possessed or that the devil's behind certain things, but you have to understand, especially worldly people, even Christians, some of the things that come out of their mouth, they're yielding to the wrong thing. Peter did this. Peter at one point said, "You are the Christ." Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Men say on this, "Who do you say?" He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And in the next verses, he was telling Jesus, "Not so, you won't do." He was saying, "You're not gonna go to Jerusalem," and so forth. And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter. And so we can all, if we're not careful, yield to the wrong thing. But when somebody's saying something, you're like, this is tempting me to be discouraged. It's coming at you, and it may be a day there's a lot of other stuff going on, and you just wonder, well, why does that happen? Well, the enemy will try to take any way he can to get at you. Yeah. But my point is, other people's words, it doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what they believe, it matters what do we believe about our situation. You can be believing for healing. And have you ever had this happen? I mean, you may be even just fighting something relatively minor. And somebody come up and say, "Boy, you don't look too well. Boy, you look bad." Like, thank you for that. That's what I needed to hear. But it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what do you believe about your situation. You don't got to get mad at people. But their words cannot bring you down. Oh, no. You know, some people get nuts about this and they try to control other people's words. "Don't say that around me." Well, you can't control most people, you know? I mean, you know, yeah, we're called as parents to keep our kids in line, but I mean, at some point, you can't control everything. Really, a lot of that, it's fear. I don't want what you say to get me down. Shh, don't do it. You know what that is? That's not a strong, stable, secure person. That's a person that's afraid of being knocked off at any point. And your word just might do it. So don't say anything. You think Jesus was like that? Good night. He was ministering and he had the Sanhedrin right there, waiting to kill him, waiting for him to slip up, and yet he preached under the anointing and he had people on the front row here, waiting to see if he's going to heal somebody. I mean, most of us, we think, I get nervous around certain people, or I don't want to get up in front of people. Jesus had people lined up ready to kill him. And he has to minister. He didn't let them get him off. He was bold. He'd walk up and preach anyway. And then call somebody up and heal them right in front of these guys. But he didn't let people get him off. Other people's words will not hurt you unless you let them hurt you. Amen. Somebody needs to say that. Other people's words will not hurt me unless I let them hurt me. Amen. Say this after me. I believe what God says about me. What He says goes. I agree with what He says. Amen. We need to believe that. If He told us to do something, then we stick with that. In spite of the circumstance, you still say what He said. It said, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Able to bridle the whole body. Able to take. It's like you're taking yourself by the ear and moving your body where it needs to go. And you know, if you've been around, maybe you don't know, but if you look back on situations, if we'll speak the word in the face of circumstances and not yield to the temptation to speak evil or to speak negative about our situation, then what we say will go. Because you're lining up and agreeing with God. But at the point where you start yielding to the wrong thing, your emotions can follow so fast down. And then come up too if you say the right thing. But you can be resisting resisting thoughts, resisting impressions, and if you won't let it out your mouth, you will see a difference. There is a big difference. If you'll just refuse to speak the negative, but speak the positive. Say what God says in spite of what you feel. Will absolutely change our life. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that that's always easy. There will be, if you look at, don't know how much we'll get into here, but I believe we're saying what we need to say. Look at verse 5. It says, even though the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. You know, it doesn't have to be like that, but it can be like that. Have you ever felt you're going through something that it could be something small, somebody said something, you have something in a business or something in your body. There is a pressure. If you haven't noticed this, pay attention next time you feel stressed. There is a pressure to speak fear, discouragement, negative words over your situation. I can't do this. Why did this happen? I don't know oh my gosh, what does this mean? My body? Or some, you name it, to start saying, I'm not going to make it. What? How are we going to make it now? Where are the customers? Or, you know, what does my boss think of me? Or you watch, and that does not help. What did you just do when the pressure was there and you started letting negative words come out your mouth? Do you know what you just did? You just set the rudder going a certain direction and your body and your mind is going to follow it. And sometimes a whole lot faster than you want it to. You just set a course. And you may think the first time you say it, you're just spouting off. That's why when anybody tells you it's a good therapy just to let it go, that's not true. Just vent. Get it out. You know what you're doing? You're yielding to the devil. You're yielding to stress. You're yielding to fear. That's not a good therapy. That is not a good way. By the time you get done with that, you're going to have to pick yourself up off the floor. You may have started out and you don't really think you mean it. But guess what? Just like when I was talking about Pastor Gill and he didn't mean it when he started saying, I love you, but ended up with that. You know when you start saying something you really don't think, but I hate this job. I don't like my spouse. You know what? You just set a course. And you may not like where that course is headed. But you just, You may think you don't mean it, you're just spouting off, but guess what? 15 minutes later, you pick yourself up, and you're discouraged, and you're angry, and you're worse off than when you started. What happened? You just set a course, and you just did exactly what the Bible said. Now you're over here. And if you keep going, you better be sure your words are taking you where you want to go, because you're going there whether you like it or not. Period. It's a law of God. You will hear it. You will act on it. You are programming and telling your mind, this is what we're doing. You start saying, oh, I just don't feel so good. What'd you just do? Set a course. Okay, body says, we don't feel good. Here we go. Well, I better lay down. We're laying down. We don't feel good. We're geared to lay down. We're geared to be tired. That's real. That's not made up. That's not magic. Bible just said, whatever you say, you're going to go in that direction. But the good news is, you can be feeling like you don't want to see another person. You can be feeling like, I don't want to get out of bed. You can feel, I don't want to see my job. I don't want to see my spouse. I hurt. But you can start, regardless of what you feel, you can start saying, but by His stripes I am healed. He took my infirmities. I have the strength of Almighty God. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. You can start saying, I love my spouse. I get along with my spouse. You can say, I have a strong business. People are coming in. I get along with people. You could say, I like my job. I'm not saying, you say, well, that's lying. That's not lying. That's lining up the Word of God. We talked about last week that God calls those things that be not as though they were. You're saying, this is where it's going. This is the course. That'd be like saying, I set my GPS for Iowa, but you're lying. You're not in Iowa. That's because I want to go to Iowa. But you're lying, you're not there. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm setting the course. Whether you understand it or not, that's what I'm doing with my mouth. So, I mean, you got to use some wisdom. Don't go around blabbing stuff that people don't understand. But, you know, with your own self, and it just because you say, I am strong, I'm healed, and they look at you and go, you're lying. No, that's where I'm going. Do you see this? It's a course. You're saying, no, I'm strong. And they say, but you're weak. The Bible says to say I'm strong, let the weak say I'm strong. So I qualify. And if, well, you know, like Pastor Gibb did, he didn't love his wife, but he said, I love my wife. But you don't. But God told me to do it. And so I'm going to end up in Loveville. That's where I'm going. I'm setting the course. But you're not there. That's because I don't want to be where I am. I want to be where I'm going. And I want to set the course. Amen.